World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, got a lot of stuff I want to talk about today, but I always try to, I always try to be faithful to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's pounding on me a little bit here, so I want to get it out there. Debbie Perkins just put up there. I think it's Debbie Perkins. Boy, Quail on Hagman last night was pretty amazing. Now, you guys all know, I believe this about Steve Quail. Steve's pretty, how do I say this? I don't want to say fear porn, but Steve's not an optimistic guy when it comes to where we are in the world today. Love him to death. Don't get it wrong. Man, he laid some stuff out last night that was pretty amazing. And also, by the way, in the after show yesterday, we got discussing, Jim brought up the fact that one of the videos, he started asking me some questions about one of the videos we had posted at Coach Dave Live. And I said, man, I don't even really know what you're talking about, Jim. I said, I really don't know. And came to find out, what video do you mean? And came to find out that the video I'd posted, because Randy had sent it to me, said, Coach, you got to watch this. So I didn't get a chance to watch it, so I posted it. And Jim watched it, and I hadn't watched it, so I couldn't really answer his question. And I want you to know that I watched it yesterday. You know, I don't know what you guys think. Our video is kind of confusing to find stuff on there. I don't know what we do about that. But it was Scott McKay and Bishop, I can't remember his name. Shame on me. Man, folks, listen. If you get a chance, go watch that video I posted that I hadn't watched, okay? It's, oh, man. Where is it? Where is that thing? That's not it, Spence. That's not it. That's why. Why is it so hard to find videos on my own website? But we do. Scott McKay, the Patriot. Where y'all looking at like I am? Still don't see it. Anyway,
I had to go in the search engine and look for it.
I don't know. I don't know why.
I always go to Coach Dave Live video. It was from April 7th, and for me, it appears right at the top.
Okay, April 7th. Friends, listen, because. The interview brings in a lot of the stuff that we talk about, okay? A lot about demonic influences, the deep state, who they really are, the Nazis, the Nephilim, the changing of the scriptures. It was, golly. I told Michelle, man, you got to sit down. You got to sit down with this one with a notepad. So, listen, I don't endorse everything on the site. Okay, but boy, was this one that got me thinking. It got me thinking. Now, I don't know why we can't find it. And I'm not giving you a hard time here, Spencer. It's not your fault. I got to figure. Somebody else sent me an email the other day. Said, Coach, your website's so too hard to navigate. I can't find stuff on your website. And I see what he meant. But once we figure it out here, go watch that video. It's almost 2 hours. Put it on double time. 1.7 time, whatever, and watch it. Now, hang on here. Stay right there. Let's see if I can find. That's not it. See, we should be able to just go there and find the daggone thing. Slow down. Scott McKay, the Patriot. Where is he? So those of you who've been complaining and saying, I can't find anything.
Scroll all the way over to the right.
Over to the right? The top. Powerful interview with, right there. Yep. There it is. Click on that thing. Spencer, stick that thing in the chat if you can. Folks, watch this, okay? Watch it. Okay?
And you have to start about 18 minutes into it because Scott was having difficulty connecting.
Very good. Thank you very much for that, Jim. That's true. Get about 18 minutes into it because, he was having trouble getting his system up and running. Scott did the first part of it. It's powerful. It is unbelievable. It's a note taker, if you know what I'm talking about, okay? So it's pretty good. Hey, what do you think about this? It's Flea Flicker Friday. We were having a little bit of discussion before we went on the air here. This guy's in the queue. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Broad is the way, and narrow is the gate. Many come, and few find it. What is American Christianity teach that Christianity is all inclusive? Why do we teach that? Have you guys thought about that? I'm not trying to scare anybody into anything or have you worry about your salvation or anything about that, but the message of Jesus Christ is not everybody's getting there. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. Isn't that what it says? Yeah. And we have a extremely inclusive gospel. Walk an aisle, say a prayer, you're in, dude. It's in. That's all required of you. And because of that, we've lost the fear of the Lord. And with the fear of the Lord comes the desire to follow his teachings and his precepts. We have Christians today. We have Franklin Graham asking people to take a vaccination. We have a lot of our pastors that are doing this. The Bible says to avoid the very appearance of evil. And I don't want to get bogged down on this, folks. But I believe that the message being taught in the church is almost many times exactly opposite of the message in the book. It's an exclusive club. It's an exclusive club. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. And today we teach, walk an aisle, say a prayer, you're in. Man, I don't want to get bogged down on that. I got some good stuff I want to get into today. But it's worth saying. Rochelle, you want to jump in here already, do you?
Well, you just asked for thoughts on that real quick about this whole other Jesus that they talk about in churches. And yeah. I've entertained this idea that maybe other people have thought of this too, as far as the image of the beast. If you're thinking of it as a beast system and Rome and the Roman Catholic Church, their image is this little dainty Jesus that's still hanging on a cross and that accepts everyone.
That's
so,
right.
You know, that I'm not saying that is, but in a way that's what they've created. And if you follow a Jesus that has no rules and everybody's allowed in and you can do what you want and everybody's accepted, you never have to repent, you never have to do anything nice, you just say I believe, then that really is not the Jesus that walked this earth, and that's not the God of the Bible.
No, and he's coming back on a white horse, and in righteousness he's going to judge, he's going to make war. Doesn't sound very peaceful to me when he on his way back, Rochelle. It doesn't. And that's hey, right, who are you to judge? Tolerance, diversity, as if that's Christian. As if those things are Christian. Friends, come on now. That's not Christian. What? That's not Christian. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, you know, it applies more than to just salvation. When you're reading the Word of God, pay particular attention to your definitive words like all or none.
Yeah.
Only or every.
Many.
Everywhere.
Few. Yeah.
You know, anytime it is an absolute exclusive word that you know, There's no wishy-washy to it. Pay attention to what the Bible's talking about there, because it's important you get a hold of that concept.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, I have to stop right now. The Holy Spirit just prompted me. First time since we've done a show, I didn't pray before the show. Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for every man, woman, child represented here, Lord. We thank you that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under your shadow, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, guides us into all truth, Lord, and help us come to the knowledge of that truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tony, come on in. And Glenn, boy, you guys are jumping in here before I got to get to my good stuff. Come on in, Tony.
Okay. I had mentioned this once before. When reading in Matthew, he's saying about the foolish man and the wise men, building their house. And he said, if you're not following what I'm saying, you're building it on sand. And yeah. He went, the fruits of the spirit, kindness, and, you know, what do you call it? It's meekness and all long suffering, all the things that churches stay away from now. They don't teach the character of Christ. They don't teach that change.
That's right.
And so how are you going to become like Christ if you don't know what Christ is like?
Doctor, amen. Glenn, come on in. Then Jim.
Well, you know, when you just look at Jesus and look at the Pharisees, okay? When they healed the blind man, all right? They were challenging him. They were asking the blind man a lot of questions, mainly because they wanted to find a reason to trip up Jesus, okay? And then Jesus told, and I think it's in John, maybe John chapter 9 and 10, I think it's 9 verses 39, 40, somewhere in there, I think, where he told the Pharisees they were blind, okay? You know, that's the reason that their sin still stays with them. So I think it's like a religious spirit. So in the church today, right, everyone knows the word, okay?
The difference is that Jesus...
Well, the difference was Jesus was practicing the word. He was doing the word.
Yeah.
The Pharisees knew the word, but they just wanted to hold the law, but not do anything.
Yes. And Bible says a form of godliness denying the power thereof, right, Glenn? And so Spence, go back there where you were, because look at this. Boy, Jesus said, I came into the world, and Jesus said, for judgment, I've come into the world. And what do Christians say? Don't judge. Who are you to judge, right? For judgment I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Wow, that's, man, oh, man. I'm going to get there. Jim, come on in, then Joe. Jim Caribou. He's fiddling with his phone now. I can hear him. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Joseph, while you're ready. Then Jim will jump in.
I don't want to get off topic this morning, but I do have a request.
Okay.
Like this Sunday at church, all the headed households, we stand up and do our prayers for the week. Mine is on marriage. So if we don't have to talk about it, but if you want to, but you can put it in a chat for me. What is your favorite phrase out of the Bible about marriage? And this might be a good one for Pastor Dale there.
Okay, somebody help him out there. Jim, can you jump in here? Do you still want to jump in?
Sure. Yeah, I do. Thanks. Uh-huh. In Revelation 22:11-14, you know, which is the last book of the Bible for a reason. But at the very end where he says, those that are on the outside of the gates, he gives a description of the dogs, the sorcerers, the murderers, the idolaters, and he says, those who love and practice the lie, a lie. And that lie, I believe, is the very first lie that was told to Eve in the garden when she said, I should not eat from that tree. He said, oh, or I will die. He says, you will surely not die.
Yep, that's right.
And that same lie has been told because we want to keep butts in seats, especially the big churches. They want to get people in there every week, and they tell a lie that everybody's in free.
You know, I had a conversation with my friend Pastor Tom Gill yesterday. He tried to get in all morning on the show to and he sharpened me on an issue that he said, this is really good. He said, Coach, sometimes we all have to watch our approach, right? Or as Chad Estes says, guy may have the best pizza in the world, but if the delivery truck shows up and does donuts in your yard, tears up your yard as he's delivering the pizza, you're probably not going to call that pizza guy again. And I thought, yeah, no matter how good his pizza is, right? And so Tom said, you know, it was good that we have to all be cognizant of this, and that sometimes our mind, and he's right, my approach, my delivery, I'm not a good delivery man sometimes. Even though the pizza might be good, a lot of pastors don't want to eat the pizza because they feel like I'm tearing up their yard when I pull in, right? So I take it to heart. I think that's true of a lot of us. We have to be. Delivery does matter. We can make an excuse and say, "Well, that's just the way I do it." Well, sometimes we need to solve. Not everyone standing in the pulpit is a John 10 hireling. Not everyone is. A lot of guys put a lot of time and effort and energy into pastoring, but I would say this: we are all prisoners to what we've been trained in. All of us. And Jeff Nell was talking before we went on the air about Southern Baptists. And some people say, I've been a Southern Baptist my whole life. 40 years I've been a Southern Baptist. And you know what I say? No, I see the problem. Okay, now it makes sense. Because the only thing you know is the Southern Baptist gospel. You don't know anything else. They've been hammering that same thing down your throat. And you know, the Southern Baptists didn't get it all right. How do I know? Well, that's why they have the Methodists. And the Methodists didn't get it all right either. You know why? That's why they had the Presbyterians. They didn't get it. And the Presbyterians didn't get it all right. That's why they had the First Church of Gods. And the First Church of Gods didn't get it right. That's why they had the First Church of Gods in Christ Jesus. And the First Church of Gods in Christ Jesus didn't get it right. That's why they had the Church of God in Christ prophecy. You with me? You with me, right? And so we are all, whether we want to admit it or not, we are all victims. All of us are victims of our knowledge base, of our the guy who taught us. We're all victims of that. And even though it's hard for us, we got to put down our swords against each other when somebody brings a truth to us that we have not seen before. Instead of saying, well, I don't believe that. I've never heard that before. What's wrong with saying, I'm going to check that out. I never heard that. I'm going to check that out. And for the most part, I said yesterday in the after show, folks, sometimes somebody will bring up something during the show and it'll really ring a bell in my head. And when the show's over, I go check it out. I go research it because I don't want to talk about it till I've done a little bit of research on it, because I don't want you to ever be able to say, well, Coach Dave said this and see, it wasn't true. So I don't ever want to be there, right? I don't ever want to get caught there. And so trust but verify. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Go check this stuff out for yourself. Don't believe it just because you've been under your pastor for 20 years and he's a good man and you love him, you stand beside him. That all may be true, but he might be wrong or ignorant. There's nothing wrong with being ignorant. Nothing wrong with that. Come on in, Debbie, then Roger, then Mark. Come on, Debbie.
Well, one thing I can guarantee that there's probably... I wouldn't agree with everything everybody says always here and in any room. But what I've had to learn is you have to discern their heart and where are they. What comes out of their mouth is not the absolute always, but you do have to go and research. But for me, I've had people say, oh, Coach Dave's show, oh man, he's like Bible thumping, all this kind of stuff. But it's the heart of the message that you have to look for. And we don't all agree. That's why we're all individuals. We're sheep under God and under Jesus, but we don't all eat the same blade of grass.
Amen. Well, Deborah, not only that, I don't think I'm Bible thumper. I'm Bible dissector. That's what I think it is.
Sorry, huh? We know that term. We got that here.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, that's why we have a mind. And that's why God takes us to the Bible. And one verse means so many different things to different people.
That's right.
And so you have to let it speak to you. And so you have to find, where does your heart be moved? Where does the Spirit tell you you're in the right place? I've left many churches because the Spirit said, okay, you're done here.
Amen. Well, remember this, folks. Just because you believe something doesn't mean it's true. Roger, come on in. Then Mark.
Oh, I was just going to say, and I'm speaking about myself, but Dave, in relation to the counsel you received, I think, especially as we're older, we know we bear some of those issues. We know many times that we are good in this area and bad in this area, or in your case, maybe, you know, responding differently. I have that problem. So I'm aware of it at 61 years old. It's just coming to terms with it and necessarily correcting it or improving on it. I don't know that I'm not aware that I'm harsh at times. I think I know that. But it's changing it. It's taking responsibility for it. So in your case, just, you know, just speaking, and again, I'm talking about myself some, I think you may be aware of that already through your life experiences. It's now how to, it's implementing. I forget sometimes. It's like I could use anger management about every 6 months because I just sometimes I just forget. Yeah. But yet I know the problem exists there because I've lived with it. And if I'm an honest person with myself, sometimes I think it's just the implementation that is needed maybe to correct it or to work with it. That's how it happens in my life.
So I've said before, thanks, Raj. I said before that a prophetic unction, when someone is speaking prophetically, they're not future telling. It's not telling the future, folks. That's not being prophetic. Being prophetic means you are speaking the oracles of God for God. That's what it means to be prophetic, right? Now listen, you can search the Bible all you want to. When you're speaking prophetically, it's usually edgy. It's not love, folks. It just isn't. And I believe I have that prophetic unction and edge on me, and sometimes it comes through like a cutting knife because, folks, that's what the prophetic does. That's what it does. And I'll let somebody else come behind me and do the first aid. But my job is, I feel, is to come through and to slice and to dice, not in a mean way, but to clear out the brush. Come on in, Mark.
You mentioned that people teach what they know, what they've been taught.
Yeah.
I think it's beyond that. I think people believe. People believe, and then they teach. To teach what you don't believe is almost, it's hypocritical, but it's also a sin to yourself or something. It's confusing. So belief changes people in a way that they're bold. Belief gives you that boldness. And that's what I think a lot of the people sitting in the pews don't believe, because they're not passionate. They just kind of go along with what someone else believes. They don't know what to believe. You know, and I think that's most of the church. It's going to get washed away.
Yeah. Many, it says. Good word, Mark. Jeff Nell, come on in. Man, you guys keep popping up here. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah. I'm reading Ephesians 4. 12 and 13. It says, for the training of the saints in the work of the ministry to build up the body for Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Come on in, Randy. I try to get folks that haven't been in here yet. Come on in. Morning, Randy.
Hey, Coach. I believe we need to have an ear to hear. I think Jesus made this very clear in the book of Revelation. This is the ascended Christ sitting on the throne. He says, he's telling John, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. So, you know, it all starts with us, Coach. If we're dogmatic, if we're closed-minded, so narrow-minded we can see through a keyhole with both eyes, like one guy put it, we're not going to hear. So it all comes down to our heart. If we're hearts open, Coach, and we want to hear the truth and the gospel and every aspect, we'll hear. So,
my sheep hear my voice, folks. My sheep hear my voice, all right?
He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear, let her hear.
He who has an ear.
That's who will hear.
That's right. Pastor Payne, come on in, Tom. If you can unmute yourself real quick. Then listen, I'm going to try to get, keep popping.
Oh, there we are.
Hey, there you are.
Good morning. Hey, I love your analogies and things. I'll tag on to your pizza thing. I used to say to people, the one of the marks of maturity is you start judging the good food, not who delivers it. It's primarily the message, not the messenger. I mean, bottom line. And I used to, my wife would laugh. I said, you know, honey, I don't come to this restaurant for good looking waitresses. I want to make sure the food's good.
Yes, sir.
I joke and say I may be an ugly waitress, but I know I'm gonna you know, lay something. You may not be the best looking waiter there, but you're laying down some good food, right?
So you mean, that's right, brother. So you mean Hooters isn't about their hamburgers?
No, I think that isn't that about an owl or something? I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't know about those things.
Yeah.
Coach.
Yeah, I wouldn't I'm either.
A good choir, right. I'm a good Catholic. I was a good Catholic choir boy.
Me but, too, Tom.
older boy, I mean, actually. But the other thing I was going to say is how are we saved? The Bible says we're saved by grace through
faith.
How? Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do we get faith? Faith cometh by
hearing
by the word of God. Mm-hmm. You got the rhema and the logos, and the way I say it is it's like people have earbuds, and you ever see somebody have one earbud in and the other one's out? You can hear the things going. You can have the things going on in the radio that you're listening to, yet you're hearing the things of the world.
Wow. Yep.
We, in order to have true faith, you got to have both earbuds in listening to the word of God. The rhema and the logos, and I think that goes back to one of our sisters said something about the heart, for from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yeah. It actually comes into existence. Let there be light. Lazarus, come forth. Those speaking those things, that's the faith cometh by hearing. And one of the things I tell kids when I'm training them, I said, now I'm going to teach you something, but I can only teach you something if you're willing to learn. And I look at them and say, now, why is that? And then the kids start saying, well, I need to pay attention. I need to be open to it. And that's kind of the thing of saying, okay, is my mind already set on something? And am I waiting to prove a point? Or am I willing to empty some of the junk and to receive and to get the point?
Amen. Amen.
And, that's I want to learn. I mean, my kids teach me things. I look in this, I'll leave it with this. You know, there's times I can be a good example, and I'm always a good example. I'm a good example, or I'm a good example of a bad example. Right. And we can all do that. And that's the thing of always learning, just always learning. Love you, Coach. So, God bless, guys.
So folks, listen, I'm at that place in my life right now when I talk about all the time. I've prepared a wonderful sermon and you guys won't let me preach it today. Amen. I got up early this morning and I'm going to preach my sermon. That's what happens in church, right? Is this liberty in church that we can come in? And Coach Dave had a wonderful sermon prepared and we've been here 27 minutes and you guys haven't let me preach my sermon yet. So as the leader of the church, I'm going to preach my sermon whether you guys want to hear it or not. Not really, but you get what I'm saying? I got such good stuff I want to give you, but this is even better stuff. Come on in, Silver. Then Dale.
Coach, we were talking a little bit earlier about judging. And Matthew 7, judge not that ye be not judged. Everybody stops.
Mm-hmm. We can't judge nobody.
That's not what it says.
No, it doesn't.
For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again.
That's right.
It doesn't say don't judge.
No, it's hypocritical judgment, right, Joseph?
Judge is forbidden.
Yep, nope.
Doesn't say that at all.
No, I always use
judge in order to be able to help people see.
Mm. And well, help
Joe, see.
How do you determine whether or not you like watching this show? Isn't that a judgment? That'd be a judgment, wouldn't it? I judge I don't like Coach. I judge I do like Coach. I judge. Stupid to think we're not supposed to judge. Dale.
Amen, Coach. Another wonderful show. I want to piggyback on what Pastor Payne was talking about, because faith come by hearing, hearing come by the learned word of God. And Jesus came into the world, it says, but they received him not. And Jesus looked, he says, it has been revealed to some, but not unto others. So when you look at Ephesians chapter 2:8, I am saved by grace. That's the first thing that comes through faith. The word grace is the revelation of God. Let me tell you what, you can preach it to a person all day long. They're hearing it, but they're not getting it. It's like when I studied algebra in high school, the first year I flunked, Coach, as hard as I tried. When I came back the next year, algebra came easy to me. The light turned on. I understood it. So Jesus comes, he is the word, he is the living, active, rhema word. But until it is revealed to the man's heart, I am saved by the revelation of Jesus Christ through faith, because I've not seen Jesus. You've not seen Jesus, but you believe. That's faith. And the other thing you're talking about, I really love that. The fact is being led by the Holy Spirit like you did 2 days ago, coming down the stairs, and you were sensitive to his voice. You know my sister Annette, when I went to California to do her wedding, I said, the only thing I ask is you come to the church that I'm going to preach at. And this is a huge thing to me because this is my close sister. When I got up to preach, I had my sermon all laid out. Coach, the Holy Spirit slammed me. And he made me ask for repentance of my family for the things I did to them. And brother, bar the door, Katie's, the Holy Spirit fell. My sister got saved. My two nieces got saved. And my brother got saved.
Wow. Hey, listen, folks. The truth, listen to me. The Holy Spirit just told me this. The truth can't be seen. Listen to me. The truth can't be seen. It can only be known. Think about that a second. The truth can never be seen. It can only be known. And when you know the truth, then you see it in operation. But you can't see the truth without knowing the truth. You can't recognize, oh man, that's deep, Coach. That's, wow. Larry, come on in, and then Debbie jump in there. Then I'm going to try to get to my sermon. Go ahead, Larry.
I want to piggyback on what Joe Silver said, you know, about judge not lest you be judged. Now, that is probably the one verse that the world uses the most against who they think are Christians, because they want to shut Christians up.
Right.
And that one, to me, the thing about that verse is when you look at the word judgment and what the meaning of that word is, it means to establish the punishment, to determine the punishment. And it's not up to us to determine the punishment when somebody does something wrong. That's God's territory. But judging, if you don't judge that somebody's doing something wrong, you know, don't get in there and try to give them what the punishment is. But if you're not judging that people are doing something wrong and they're your brother and sister in Christ, how are you going to correct them if you're not allowed to judge them?
Well, it's crazy. See, that's why I say I don't judge, I witness. I bear witness to the truth, and it feels like judgment. Remember our old saying, truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth, right? It's the feeling, the emotion that comes with the judgment that they don't like. They don't mind being judged. If I told them what a wonderful, wonderful Christian they were, they would love it. They would say, oh, judge some more, will you please? Judge some more, because it feels good. But if I give them judgment, it doesn't feel good. Oh, then I'm hateful, right? Debbie, come on in, then Jeff. And then maybe I'll get to my sermon.
Just quickly, I worked for a while for a pastor's department in a hospital, and they had a training program there that trains pastors to be hospital chaplains. And what I found very quickly is that these guys coming in, and women, not all of them were called. Some of them, it was a good job, because when you're a hospital chaplain, it's a 9 to 5 or an 8 to 5. Yep. You have a floor you're assigned. You go and maybe for an hour a day, maximum 2 hours a day, you go and minister to the sick if they want you. It's a great job. And I was so disappointed to find out that I would say out of the 8 that we had every year, there were maybe 2 or 3 that really thought it's just a good job. And it took me a while to realize that's the same in the pulpit.
Yeah.
You know, it's a job for some people. It's not a calling.
Well, can we say this for sure? Pastors, if there's any pastors out there, there's some of you sheep you probably don't even like, truth be told. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, I just got up and just got in the show and heard you talking.
Shame on you.
Yeah. Well, you got a special request here this morning. My brother's down. Ricky called me last night on the way to church. They're shipping him out to Columbus. I don't know what's going on. He didn't either. He sounded worse. He sounded good for the last 2 days. And as a Vietnam veteran, I've never heard Ricky say this. He said, "Brother, I'm scared." And he is confused. So about 8:30 last night, they shipped him to Riverside. I don't have any other, don't know anything else, but we're waiting for it.
Jeff, I would say that's the best thing ever happened to him. Get him out of Knox into Riverside.
That's what I told him. I said, "Rick, and pardon the French, but I said it's probably best they get your ass out of there." Yeah. I said they are a Band-Aid station.
Amen, Lord. And just touch Ricky right now, Lord. Lord, just do a miraculous work in his life. Touch him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord Jesus. Hey, Ricky, that good man, Lord. Surround him with your love, Lord, with your encouragement, with your spirit, Lord. Get a speedy diagnosis and proper treatment. Raise him up, Lord. Encourage him in his heart. Encourage his wife in her heart, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Strengthen him. Heal him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Jeff, man.
Amen.
I was thinking about him last night. I didn't call him yesterday. And, wow, cool.
You know, it's strange because I was thinking about this morning. 12 years at that car lot. Ricky's with me 6 days a week. I spend more time with that guy than I do with my wife. But he is a true brother, you know?
Yes, he is. He is.
I love him to death.
Well, let's get him out of there. Lord, get him out of there. Get him out of there. Okay, this has been good, hasn't it? This is good. Let me give you some stuff here. Before we hit the weekend, okay, listen, Dizdar is a week from today. Dizdar is a week from today. And I'm going to say this again, it's not about making money. We don't care about money. Folks, if there's any way you can get here, get here. That's all I'm going to tell you. And I was going to jump into the whole seven principalities of hell. Still going to try to get into them a little bit here this morning. Russ is going to talk about all this stuff. Folks, hear me. This stuff is breaking out. The demonic is breaking out everywhere. Go back, as Jim Bruner said to us, and watch that video that we talked about here this morning from Scott McKay. Watch that thing. As this guy, I mean, it's pretty amazing. You can get live streaming. You get $30. You can have live streaming, and you have it for a month. And you get the live streaming, and you have that for a month. You can have people come over your house and let them watch and them get trained. You can share with your pastor. You can share with your, I don't even know if you guys go to Sunday schools. Folks, listen, I just exhort you, man. I just exhort you to do that, to do that, okay? Second thing, I'm going to be on Boston Common on Monday. It's going to be good. The day the shot heard around the world was fired. And Rich is going to be there with us, and he's going to walk it through around. It's going to be awesome. So Michelle and I are going to be out of town. Well, I'm going to be doing the show 2 days in a row, Monday and Tuesday. We're going to be doing it from the road. And it'll be good. I promise you it'll be good. Third thing, this is Scott McKay vid. Hey, I just got to say this, and I'm just going to leave this hang here because Right Wing Watch is going to post it. But listen, I want your eyes to see, okay? You guys know that. Something happened yesterday that just kind of made me catch my breath. I thought, Lord, what is this all about? The police officer, the woman police officer in, is it Minnesota? That thought she was tasing the guy, and she killed him. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's been a week or it's been 10 days. She's been fired. She's been charged. The police chief has lost his job because she fired what she thought was her, thinking it was her taser. And killed this guy, this career criminal, 20-year-old career criminal. We know who she is. They're doxing where she lived and all that stuff. And at the same time, yesterday, our federal government said no charges against the murder of Ashley Babbitt. Now, you guys remember who Ashley Babbitt was? She was the girl in the Capitol building that was shot out of the window. You guys know what I'm talking about. The only person supposedly killed in Washington, D.C.
Amen, Coach.
And they dropped the charges yesterday. No charges. No charges filed. We don't know the name of the person that killed her. We don't know anything about it. We know nothing about it. No officer cleared in the shooting death of Ashley Babbitt during Capitol riot. Now, I'm just going to throw this out there. And those who have ears to hear, hear. What if they couldn't charge the police officer because there was no crime? Do you guys understand what I just said? How could you charge a police officer with murder if nobody was murdered? You with me? Are you with me? And all you have to do is go back and look at that video, and there's a lot of questions that come up about that whole scenario. And we still don't know the name of the guy that did it. We don't know anything about it. And in 8 days, the other lady is charged, fired. Wow. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, cool. What else? Coach, I got to throw this up.
Equal justice.
Equal justice, brother. Equal justice. Hey, Spence, real quickly for me, brother. Click on FDA. FDA. Just got to show this to you as I wander. I only got 20 minutes left. This popped up this morning. The FDA, right? Food and Drug Administration has been caught buying body parts from aborted babies killed in late-term abortions. The Food and Drug Administration, folks. And we want to wonder why abortion is not criminalized in America. There's why. There's why. Food and Drug Administration buying body parts.
Can Spencer put that in the chat, Coach?
Sure he can. Spencer, put that in the, put that in the chat. I'm not going to read down through the whole thing. It's enough for you to read right there. Food and Drug Administration caught buying body parts from aborted babies killed in late-term abortions. Yes, Roger, go ahead.
The foundation historically of communism and dictators is chaos in the streets and the rule of law eliminated. Because then what happens historically, a strong hammer comes in the form of communism to get control on the streets back. And the people are willing to come under it because they don't want the chaos in the street.
That's right.
We are seeing the beginning of the chaos in the streets and cities. And if, as Newt Gingrich wrote yesterday, we are at a complete crossroads. If this chaos spreads, what happens? The people cry out, peace, peace, and will come under the authoritarian thumb of a dictator or communism.
That's right.
It's historical. It is historical.
We're going to beg for the government to come in and take care of us all. That's where it said. Go ahead, Silver, then Pennsylvania Brett.
It's called martial law.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're going to pray for us. Hey, look what's going on with the vaccine, right? We're praying, save us, save us, save us. The government comes along. Yeah, we got a vaccine. Oh, thank you. Save us, save us, save us. Pennsylvania Brett. Got to unmute, bud. Chad, come on while we're waiting on Brett to figure it out here.
Okay, so Jeff Bezos, if you know who that is.
Yep.
The founder of Amazon, he's building this clock down at the Texas-Mexico border, this huge clock down there. And ultimately what's going to happen is when the clock goes, there will be no more United States. By 2050, that's his objective. So it's one of those things too, is that to bring chaos here to the land. I mean, I think that's what's coming. We can see that.
Oh, you're just Chad. You're just a conspiracy. Come on in, Jack. Jeff, did you want to come back in? I think you just left your hand up. Did you want in, Jack?
I was just hoping one of you guys would have some new conspiracy theories because mine have all come true.
Well, I got a new one for you. I haven't got there yet, but I got a new one for you, Jack. Hang in there. Come on in, Patriot 1776. My brain went dead. Come on in, Kevin.
Hey, Coach, it's Kevin.
Yep.
Yeah, just I want to remind you what the motto of the New World Order is. Order out of chaos.
That's right, brother. Order out of chaos. They're creating the chaos. I got another one I got to show you. Spencer, pull this one up there. It's a standalone email. It says... greatreject.org, greatreject.org. All right, are you ready for this one, folks? Now, I'm not going to, I just came across this website. What the heck? Where is that? Them crying, bumping, won't make it you. Now, how did that come up with what I sent you? Because mine said, anyway, can I tell y'all what it is? Doggone it. Here's the story, folks. 1,500, I think it was. They've done research on 1,500 COVID vaccination people. There it is, Spencer, right there. CDC fraud. Click on that, Spence. Right there. Yep, that's it. Laboratories in the United States can't find COVID-19 in one of 1,500 positive tests. So they have gotten samples of these tests, and 1,500 of them, they could not find COVID, friends. These are COVID positive tests, and they have not been able to find COVID. You know what they did find? They found a lot of old flu. A lot of old flu, but not one in the 1,500 positive tests that they've had have they been able to find COVID. At Seven University, not once was COVID detected. Scroll on down, Spencer. I'm not going to read all this to you. The virus is fictitious. It's fictitious. The virus is. The CDC itself admits to having no identifiable virus. The detection of the viral RNA cannot demonstrate the presence of an infectious virus or that 2019 nCoV is the causative agent of clinical symptoms. In fact, they're giving an award of $265,000 for demonstrating coronavirus. Canadian team also received no evidence to cite despite 40 public access law requests. It's impossible to demonstrate that SARS-CoV-2 causes a disease called COVID-19. They cannot prove it even exists. Combine PCR tests for corona and influenza because there's hardly any difference. What? No difference between corona and influenza? Really? Most people have been fooled by fear propaganda. Official figures, nothing to worry about. And it never gets back to normal. Might want to stick this in the chat for people who want to read it, right? Might want to stick that in there. I've never heard of this website before. I just know this. It's 4/11/2001. So it was 5 days ago this was posted. Crazy, huh? Crazy. Except it isn't crazy. All right. I want to do one more thing because I've gone up. Did you guys enjoy yesterday the seven principalities of hell? We only got to one of them, but I want to do something here because I got a lot of response from people saying, what's that guy's name? Doc who? What? And so I realized that most people didn't ever hear of Doc Marquis. Now, I met Doc Marquis about 10, 11, maybe even 12 years ago now at a conference that I went to in Dallas, long story short. And I did an interview with him. I don't know if I can still find it or not. And at the beginning of the interview, we're about 2 minutes into the interview, and Doc Marquis, as nicely as he could, said to me, you don't know anything about what I'm talking about, do you? That's what he said to me and stopped the interview. And I didn't. I didn't know any of the stuff that we're talking about now. And he was just kind enough to slap me in the mouth, say, why are you interviewing me? You don't even know what the hell you're doing. It's basically what he said to me. And so I became somewhat of a friend, follower of Doc Marquis over the years. And I realized that a lot of people don't even know who he is. They don't even know. So I want to go, Spencer, where is it? I'm trying to find him. Morning Link, James, me stuff. Pull up Doc Marquis. His website is still active, folks. Now, it's not active in that he's answering it, but it's called It's a God Thing Productions. Doc Marquis was world famous in these circles that I now have stuck my toes in, right? Getting into the Masonic, getting into the whole Illuminati. He was born into the Illuminati. Now, I'm putting this up there so that when we dive back in on this next week. God, I got Monday, Tuesday. Whenever we get back into this, you'll have some understanding of who Doc Marquis was. I have a video of him on the Phil Donahue show. This is not some whatever, okay? Now, his website is not active because he's dead. I don't know. The Illuminati card game, headlines, DVDs. I don't know if they're still there. I don't know anything. But his ministry was, it's a God thing productions, okay? And some of the things he's written and some of those things are there. Now, I want to show you about a 2 minute and 50 second video from Doc Marquis, just for you to get a flavor of what he was about. Here is a 2 minute and 44 second video of Doc Marquis talking about Masons, the Masonic. So Spencer, if you can maybe load that up at the beginning, and let's just take 2 minutes and 44 seconds and listen to Doc Marquis. Remember, born into the Illuminati, radically saved. My wife said, how do you stay alive? I don't know. I really don't know. Okay, Spence, go ahead and play that.
One of the big questions that have plagued Doc Christians Marquis to this very day.
Now, he's a much younger guy here.
Should Christians become Masons? Masonry obviously is a religion, and according to their own writers, but it is not a Christian one, according to their own writers. He realizes with the divine illumination of his lodge that as a Mason, his religion must be universal. Christ, Buddha, or Muhammad, the name means little, for he recognizes only the light and not the bearer. He worships at every shrine, bows before every altar, whether in temple, mosque, or cathedral, realizing with his true understanding the oneness of spiritual truth. And on page 184 of the Masonic Handbook, it says, where you swear or take God's name in vain, don't matter so much. Of course, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you know, doesn't amount to anything. That is on page 184 of the Masonic Handbook, that the name of Jesus Christ doesn't amount to anything.
Okay, so I just got notice from Spencer that my microphone keeps cutting out. I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't reset my internet this morning. I'm good. Okay, now listen, folks. If you want to, hey, Spence, just do this real quickly for people who like to do a little bit of research on their own. Just go to YouTube and type in Doc Marquis, D-O-C, M-A-R-Q-U-I-S. He has his own internet page, folks. And if you want to, there it is. I mean, they're just all kinds of videos. As he exposes the occult, Masonic, all that stuff. And just because he's new to us doesn't mean he's new. He's been at it a long, long time. And so I credit Illuminati's Protocol of Zion, the plot against Israel. I mean, it's great stuff. Whether you believe it or not, remember, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, right? So always when you come here, we just try to expand your knowledge base. You be the one to determine whether it witnesses with you. But for us to make a judgment without having facts, the Bible says that's foolishness, right? So I just thought I'd throw that out there for you today. And that's Doc Marquis. You want to know a little bit more about him? Because I do want to talk, I was going to today actually, talk more about those seven principalities of hell. If we could real quickly, well, I'll shut up. Does anybody want to jump in here? Yes, we do have someone. Pennsylvania Brett, you still trying to get in there, bud? Your hand's up, but you're not muted. Rochelle, she knows how to talk. Go ahead, Rochelle.
Thanks, Coach. Yeah, these people that Doc Marquis is revealing to us are the people behind this COVID-19 and their ideas of how to use this against us. One recent thing, like you just brought up, it's all just fake, in a sense, because what they're doing is now they're saying that 1/3 of the people who have had COVID are developing mental disorders. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't think it's true. I think it's a way to say, oh, look, you've had COVID. We need to make sure that you don't have some mental disorder, because if you do, we need to take your weapons. This is how they think. So I wouldn't be surprised if that comes down the pike.
Okay, so let me refer you again back to the video. Pull that video back up on our website if you can, Spencer. Go ahead and pull that back up. Go, Brett.
Okay, Coach. Yeah, thank you. I don't know. I lost signal right after you talked about the girl that got shot and the police officer or whoever he is got off yep. the charges.
Yes, sir.
If you watch that video, maybe somebody brought this up. I don't know. But that video of her supposedly getting shot, and she falls, she goes down, and within a couple seconds, they move her to presumably make her more comfortable. Now, she was shot in the neck. There is no sign of blood anywhere under her head or neck or body when they moved her.
Yes. Hey, Brett, I'm with you, man. I just don't want, right-wing watches going to paint me out to be a kook, and then everybody will agree with them. Listen, folks, can they bring a charge of manslaughter or whatever if nobody died? Could that be why nobody? Coach, are you saying she didn't die? I'm just asking the question that we all saw. That she was shot and died, and no charge, no information on it, nothing. That's my question. Glenn, come on in, then Jeff.
Yeah, that video that you brought up before about how these COVID tests, this testing, what is it, the PCR test, only found that these were mostly flu symptoms.
Right.
That really goes along with what Dr. Sherry Tenpenny said. They keep making an issue out of cases. Right. And these cases are really the positive PCR test that really don't prove anything.
Hey, Glenn, what if they came out and told us, hey, listen, there's a real bad flu going around there, just hunker down. It would have been over with by now, wouldn't it, Glenn? It would have been over with.
Yeah.
We'd have seen the symptoms of it. It wouldn't have been on the news every day. They wouldn't have been counting how many people had the flu. So there's
So here in Franklin County, Governor DeWine, we now have a purple county. So yeah. we have more people now, supposedly, because of the number. There are seven issues that they elements that they judge. And of course, one of them is cases. So the number of cases have gone up.
Whatever that means, huh, Glenn?
Right.
Whatever
exactly.
That means. A lot of flu out there, Roger. Roger, you're not shy, Jack?
I'm here. Dave, I don't understand how a public records request would not reveal the officer who shot that girl. It's just, it is clear something is going on. And I've never been a big conspiracy person, but this one's got my attention.
Hey, Roger, would we know who it was if it had been a guy shooting a black guy there? Would you think we'd know by now who it was?
Well, absolutely, but you would think the family of this individual would be filing suit immediately to get the information.
You would sure think so.
Maybe they will.
Jack, quickly.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Roger. But you know why the Amish don't have COVID, right? They don't have TVs. So COVID causes TV. TVs cause COVID.
Good one, Jack. Good one. Hey, folks, up on the screen right now is that interview. that I recommend all of you take time to watch. Started at about the 17-minute mark or 24-minute. When the black man comes in, Bishop Larry Gators, he will blow you away. It'll blow you away. And a lot of it just reconfirms a lot of the stuff that we're talking about here, okay? And so over the weekend, put your headbuds in, put it on time and a half, and take an hour or so and listen to it, and you'll be scratching your head when the whole thing's done. Let's try to get Emma in here real quickly. Go ahead, Emma.
Yes, honk and wave on Sunday, 1 o'clock, Pataskala. But I looked up Ashley Babbitt, and her family put on this beautiful video thing. But here's the thing that tips me off. They said her dog went on deployments with her. She was Air Force. They don't have dogs in the Air Force, and they don't send dogs anyway unless they're bomb-sniffing dogs.
Thanks, Emma. Hey, busy weekend. We'll be back Monday live from Boston, not Boston Garden, Boston Common, where the shot heard around the world was fired. Stay safe, stay healthy. Pray for Ricky Miller. Say, who's that? Just pray for Ricky Miller, that God will raise him up. God bless you. We'll see you on Monday.